Yep, another one. You lucky devils, we're doing two of them today. And we got Buster, and he is the Calusanet guy. And we just got a bunch of Calusanets in, and we're going to talk to Buster and see what happens with all about the nets and everything that's all cool. He's got one that's tied all the time. I don't know. So we got some nets in bondage. We got nets and all kinds of other stuff. We're going to see what happens with all that. This is Fishing Frank here. In the chair across from me is Buster. And let's see. Here we go. Hello, Buster.
Good morning, Frank. Thank you for having me.
The crowd loves you, buddy.
That's perfect.
Look at that.
Thank you.
They just love you. Come on, everybody. Settle down. Yes, Calusanets is here. I get that. But, you know, come on, everybody. Quiet. There you go. You know, you got to control the audience. You can't just let them run wild.
Yeah.
You keep a rein in them, you know.
Exactly.
Take rein, Spanish bit. Okay. Yeah, I'm probably the only one that knows what the hell a Spanish bit is. But, you know, what the heck. Anyway, we've got a bunch of the Calusanets in right now. We're going to talk in a minute about some offshore grouper fishing and some other types of fish offshore. But you were telling me about one net. Do we have any yet?
Yeah, we do. I got what we've done here. If you got Calusa, my upper end, which is kind of my Cadillac brand, and you also have my Cracker Nets, which is an excellent, very soft monofilament, plenty of weight. All of them are a pound and a half per foot, per radius foot of weight. So.
Now, you were telling me about the one that's literally just almost tied every mesh.
Yeah, my Calusa is tied every mesh at the lead line. It's a stronger made net. The bottom is reinforced with a stronger monofilament, and the top is reinforced with stronger mono. So it makes for a stronger net.
Now, everybody's casting right now, and we've got everything from quarter inch to 5/8, I think. Now, the 5/8 net, that's what I'm looking for if I'm looking for thread fins in the middle of the harbor.
Correct.
You cannot, if you're in 10, 14 feet of water, trying to catch thread fins with a 3/8 or quarter inch is almost impossible. You know, you're going to throw and throw and throw, and it's going to take you an hour to get 10.
Yeah.
But with a 5/8, I almost have to be careful. I want to throw the outside of the school so I don't get too many.
You can get too many, I mean, which is a good problem, but you can let them go. But the 5/8, you know, obviously the bigger the mesh, the quicker it's going to sink. They just have to be larger baits so you don't get a bunch of gillers, but that is definitely the thread fin net at this time. There's no doubt.
Yeah, because what you're looking for is thread fins the size of your hand or bigger. And you're looking for that big tarpon bait, the shark bait, cobia baits. You're looking for bigger thread fins. So actually get an eyeball on them first. And if they're a bunch of smaller baits, try not to throw that 5/8 on them. You know, but if there are big enough bait, you know, drop that 5/8 and get yourself one or two dozen, but usually only about a dozen. They don't live well in the live well. We don't want to waste any piece of bait. They're all precious right now. Every two baits we let go is 500 or 1,000 that will be there next year, and we need those.
Well, I agree, and they do not live as well as the white bait. Definitely the scales definitely choke them and kill them, so you don't want as many.
Yes, so I'm usually figuring about a dozen and try and get my fish, and if I get down where I need more, I just go back and try and get some more. We're learning to be the net manufacturers, us and everybody, we're learning we have to take care of our precious bait. I mean, if we take what we want instead of what we need, we're not going to have bait. We're seeing that this year. And all of us are joining together to try and remove phrases like the bait moved. We want to say, well, we killed that school, now we got to find another one. And use our nets, use our stuff all in good conscience and do the right thing. Again, what we need, not what we want. And when you have the right net, it makes a lot of difference. And using a little bit of eyeball and common sense, judge your size of bait. When I'm back on the flats throwing the quarter, if I get out 8-10 feet of water, I kind of got to throw my 3/8. I try not to do it more than I have to because, again, we don't want to gill. We want to take what we need and then stop and go fishing, catch our fish, and release everything alive at the end of that. A real important thing been discussing with Calusanets here and is about the sustainability of baits and cast nets. If we use our heads, if we are smart, if we are diligent and accept responsibility, we're going to be able to do this forever.
I think you're right. We have to take the same stance just like we do with our game fish. It's coming to that point. Our population's growing. There's a lot more fishermen. We need to conserve the bait just like we do the redfish and snook and everything else out there. So.
And there's nothing wrong with taking bait, bait has a lifespan of about a year and a half to maybe 2 years. That's all the longer it's going to live. But the one thing we have to all realize, it takes 4 to 6 months for them to reach breeding size. And once they've bred, spawn, make all the babies, then it's okay to take them. So watch the smaller baits right now. And especially when it comes to the smaller ones, make sure you only take what you need. That's the
good
key.
Advice, yeah.
Yeah, no,
no
waste.
No waste, exactly. Very good.
So anyway, we've got all the Clusinets in stock, and they've got a kind of a modest price or moderate price range, and then an upper level. Now, the modest one you said is the Cracker series.
That's my Cracker series. It's an excellent net. It's very soft monofilament. You're not going to get that springy feeling if you've ever felt some nets that may springy.
Right.
They sink real well, and they hold up. It's a panel made net, which is, if you lay it out, it kind of looks like a pizza pie there, and that helps it lay really flat when you throw it. So.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. I threw a Clusinet several years ago, and it was a nice net. And we're very happy to become, you know, associated with Calusa and get all that stuff in here. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in the harbor and out in the Gulf right now. I mean, how was your trip? You went out fishing. What was going on?
We went out grouper fishing. We've done real well this year with grouper and not having to go real far. So your gas bill is not going to hammer you quite as bad. So
how far are you going out?
We're going maybe anywhere from 15 to 30 miles. Just depends. So we're not really making the big run out. But we're doing real well on reds and releasing a lot of gags.
Isn't it funny? When I go in the Atlantic, I go out 30, 40 miles looking for dolphin and stuff. Never think a thing about it. Going 30 miles out here in the Gulf is like you need a visa, a trip ticket, a passport, you know. You gotta pack your lunch or something.
Yeah, it does seem. And it's not that far, really. It just is more, it's more a pocketbook issue if you can help it. And, you know, if you can catch the same amount and the quality fish closer, why not stay closer? So
what's your favorite bait? Are you doing, you guys do jigs, you do lures, bait?
I'm obviously mostly a live bait guy, but we do the jigs, but we use, right now I'm using thread fins. They work terrific on them, but most of the time it's pinfish and grunts, big pins and grunts form out there. So
now, when you're rigging them up, what's a good size grunt or pinfish to use?
On the bigger gags, I'd like to have it hand size if I can get them. Those are really the key. They will hit a big bait.
And we do have to use circle hooks. So what are you using, 9-aught hooks, 8-aught circle hooks?
Not quite that big. It's more of a 7-aught. We kind of scale down our hooks. And
so when you hook them up, are you going through the nose, through the lips?
Through the nose most of the time.
In one side and out the other, across through the nostrils.
Correct.
Okay. Let's say we're out there 60 feet of water. What's your sinker choice? 4 ounce, 8 ounce?
Probably 4 to 5 ounce, yeah.
4 to 5 ounce?
4 to 5, yeah.
You like a little more?
I'd like to go less weight if I can, but it depends on our current and so on, but most of the time it's a smaller,
now,
4 or 6.
Everybody's kind of got their leader size. Now, we're doing about a 7-aught circle hook because it's what you have to use. Hand size, pinfish, grunt, you like 4 ounces of lead. How far from your lead to your hook? Are you separating them, or you let the lead come all
the
way down?
No, I'm separating. I'm using a regular knocker rig. It's probably, I would say, 2 to 3 feet. It's not a huge, like a tarpon leader, but
I've got an amazing new grouper rig. The best one I've ever seen. And we just started selling. An old guy here in town invented it. And it is the best grouper rig. I'm actually having to modify him more than the knocker rig. It's kind of an accessory right now. He's going to be building them into real rigs. The weight comes off.
Really?
Doesn't bang up your rods. It's absolutely amazing. You can put a 4-ounce or an 8-ounce. You can mix and match the sinkers at will. They won't come off while they're on the line. But when you go to travel, worst thing about grouper rigs, beat the heck out of the rods.
No doubt.
And make everything fly out. This is an amazing rig, and he's on vacation. He's got some here, but I've been working with him. He came in and got real mad at me because he was doing, in my opinion, everything wrong. And so he got mad and cussed me out, and then he came back and says, you know, how do I do this? And
right.
We're now in the stages of getting him into a real rig assembly. I'm going to give you one of these to take with you.
I'd love to, because they will beat your rods to death. So.
And this is the perfect solution. It's simple. It's easy. But he had to have all the special molds and everything made, and it's really cool. I'll show it to you.
Good.
You're going to be absolutely amazed at this, because my worst nightmare is watching my rod blanks. I mean, I spend a lot of money on my tackle, and the sinkers hit the reels, they hit the blanks, and I hate having to unrig everything and put it back together.
Yeah, it's hard to unrig every time. It really is.
And sometimes when you're grouper fishing, you're going to move 10, 15 miles, or 5 miles, or 3 miles. I'm definitely not unrigging for a half a mile run.
It's not worth it. I agree. So
you'll see this, but that's what I'm kind of figuring out now. On your knocker rig, we've got the 7-0 circle hooked through the nostril of a pinfish or the grunt, and do you go up to a swivel or?
Swivel, yes.
So how far? What do you like? What's a good leader length?
My leader length will be 2 to 3 feet, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't like to go real long. It just seems like you can't feel the bite as good. But
see, I'm more of that guy. I got 2 feet, 18 inches, 2 feet, maybe 30 inches. 3 feet to me,
that would be my max, right?
Yeah, I have a helicopter problem. When I drop it down, it tends to spin around the line. You got to go really, really slow going down. You obviously have a lot of patience.
Yeah, I understand it, because once you've done it a few times, you realize how to stop doing it. So
yeah, you got to slow way down.
Yeah, you do. But we've been doing real well, so I'm excited. If the wind would stop, I'd go again. So
anything else you've been finding out there? I know you've been. You talked about doing good on the grouper.
They were doing real well on tarpon down in our area before the wind started blowing. I mean, I'm from Fort Myers, so they were doing well, and then I don't know what happened. Someone turned the switch off.
Well, it's hill tides.
Yeah.
And you've got right around the new moon, the full moon, you got a couple days where they're going to leave and go out and do the baby dance offshore. Snook, tarpon, all these fish like that, they need the salt water for the eggs to live. They can live and spawn and do everything in fresh water, but most of the eggs won't live. I mean, they have a huge mortality, because as they try to hatch, it's fresh water, there's no salt, they need salt to live. Once they get up a little bit of size, then they can go right into the fresh water, no problem. They don't even need, like tarpon don't even need oxygen in the water, they breathe air. But they do have to be big enough to do that.
Right.
And so you'll notice when we've had a little bit of rain, like a week or two ago, we had a lot of rain. The Caloosahatchee was flowing, the Peace River's flowing.
Right.
And when you get that burst of fresh water, that lingers at the surface of our waters, because salt's heavier in the water, sinks to the bottom, fresh water floats to the top. So when they sense that little bit of fresh water, they go out in the Gulf, and that's where they're going to spawn. Watch on years where it's a drought year, and we've had zero rain for 2 or 3 months, they'll spawn right in the Caloosahatchee, right at the mouth of it. I mean, they'll spawn up in the harbor. They're looking for salt content, not where are they, but what's the water like. If it's salty, they'll stop right there and do it.
So the fresh water has pushed them out, you think?
It's not that it pushed them out. It's told them they have to be further out to spawn properly.
Do they come back?
You know, oh, yeah. It only lasts. I mean, most of the time they're going out and during the day, and by morning they're back up inside, but you've got a very short window in the mornings before they want to get back out there and, you know, boy meet girl, you know.
Right.
Let's face it, if all the girls are out there, you ain't going to see any boys on the shore.
No, not many. Not many of them. No.
You know, it's just like at a bar. That's why they do ladies' night. You know, they all follow out.
We follow them, definitely.
Yep. So you into tarpon fishing at all?
A little bit. Not a lot. I do more snook and red fishing than I do tarpon, but I know the tarpon have been a hot topic.
Yeah, I think that, to me, when I first got down here, I was really keen on catching tarpon, but, you know, as a recreational angler and charter boat captain and all that, you know, once you've caught a lot of them, you know, you're like, okay, you know, all right. It's fun to watch other people do it.
Exactly. It's like an amberjack offshore. You catch one or two, and then you watch everybody else catch them, because they do wear you out. So
yeah, it's okay. That's a lot of fun. Oh, I know that pain. I see you see them, and all of a sudden their arms are cramping up. They've been 40 minutes on the rod, and you're like, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah. I like the guy that tries to hand the rod off. I'm like, no, you're still up. Keep going. So
oh yeah,
that's fun.
Because occasionally I'll get out one of the captains, and they always want to put Fishing Frank on the tarpon. You know, they're going to get Fishing Frank, this big fish. And I was with one of them one morning, and I'm drinking my coffee yet. It's early. And he goes out, and he hooks up on a tarpon, and he's got it going, here, take this, fight this. I'm looking at him and going, I haven't finished my coffee yet.
I'm not quite ready yet.
Your fish, you fight him.
That's why he's trying to pass it off.
Yeah. If you didn't want to fight that fish, why did you land him? Yeah. Or why did you hook him up?
Don't hook him, exactly. That's funny.
We went out. We caught several fish that they had a ball, but I gotta tell you, my age, I really like having my coffee before I do anything like that.
Yeah, I understand. It does help, definitely.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was a better, stronger man, but I'm just not.
More honest than anything, so.
Yeah, that's unfortunate sometimes.
Sometimes it does get in trouble.
But anyway, I know it's your job, it's busy, but you do know, like, Thursday is going to be almost ideal. We're calling it Play Hooky Thursday. 5 to 7 mile an hour winds. Check the wave forecast. It's supposed to be like 1 to 2s for like 40 miles out. It's going to be an amazing day. Now, I haven't looked forward to the weekend because, A, I don't believe them, but they're calling for Thursday to be just absolutely gorgeous.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. My job lets me kind of bump out occasionally, believe me. I will go if it's calm, so.
Yeah, I'm big into this Play Hooky this Thursday because we haven't had a nice calm day to get out there. I'm trying to get my live well fixed so that I can get out there. And it looks like I should be able to get my flats boat out to Mary's or Helen's, try for a little bit of, you know, the good grunts, grouper activity, not grouper, but grunts and snappers.
Yeah,
are
a lot
there.
Of snapper, you know.
And then I want to come back along the shore, maybe do a little beach fishing for some tarpon.
Yeah, I hear there's been a lot of cobia, too. I've been hearing a lot of cobia reports. So
how's Fort Myers in the cobia?
It's kind of a hit or miss, you know. You're usually doing some other kind of fishing, and you happen to see them. But they have been off our reefs, definitely. So.
Yeah, we've been doing the same thing here. I think with cobia, it's always a hit and miss. You can go target them, but it's always targeting by accident.
Exactly. It's a fun thing to see.
What we're going to have to do is, as you travel around, maybe you can call and give us a Calusa report. I'm really hurting for fishing reports from around Fort Myers. We get a lot of listeners down Fort Myers, Bonita Springs. We got a lot of great friends down there. We got a lot of customers from Bonita Springs North, and they're asking me what's going on, and maybe Calusa can do that for us.
I will do the best I can, I promise. I'd love to.
Every week or so, maybe give me a call. Yeah. I just bought a new board. This old board is being retired this week, and the new board has all new mics and all new and telephone inputs. So we can call you like when you're traveling between accounts, and you can give us some fishing reports.
I'd be happy to if I have any.
Yeah, we're gonna. It actually hooks up to phones and cell phones. I got it sitting in the office, and we're getting so many requests for out of area. Penn's going to be doing a Penn report, giving us a lot of East Coast stuff and all that. And maybe we can get Calusa to do us a Fort Myers report.
I would be happy to. It's an honor. Thank you.
So, anyway, Fish and Frank's over here. We've got the new Calusa nets. They're all in stock. I think we got about 80% of what you carry.
Yeah, right now you do. We'll get more in the next few weeks. You should have everything.
Yeah, so we're gonna stock pretty much every net they have, and hopefully we'll be able to, you know, keep good strong going. And they're nice nets, and I'm looking forward to getting back into Calusa. I think the last time I carried Calusa nets was back in the early 90s, mid 90s, something like that.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it. So.
It's great. You know, it's everything old is new again.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Let me see. You know, we try and be professional, and I actually use music coming in and music going out. You know, I know when you look around these studios and you see the massive audience and the big stage and all this, you don't realize how small a production this really is.
Right, exactly. It works.
Anyway, Fish and Frank here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We will see you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.